and out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I was very encouraged also being in France, because every time they tried to call the group of 55 together, it always took at least 10 minutes to get everybody's attention to get them down. And I'm like, I'm so glad it's not just here. It's universal. And so it was really great. We were laughing and talking, and they were trying to use the microphone, but we were making so much noise. As I've often said, getting a group of French people together in one room and get a group of Americans together in another one for a party, the loudest noise, the most raucous sound will always come from the French side, not the Americans. Even though we have a reputation of being loud and obnoxious and whatever, the French, man, when the French get together and they're having a good time, it is loud. You will want earplugs. It is really amazing. So it was really a great weekend to be together. So let's just look at the notes on the back of your bulletin this morning, and then we're just going to look briefly at these few verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The optimist t-shirt declares life is good. The pessimist t-shirt says expect the worst. In between are many who, wanting structure, sameness, calm, must struggle to maintain a healthy perspective in the face of life's unpredictabilities. My word check did not like unpredictabilities. I don't really much like them either, but anyway, I really think it is still a word. As Jesus' apprentices, we have the Holy Spirit's help to perceive our glass as half full and being filled. So let's look at these couple of verses in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 and 9, familiar verses. Paul says, "We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed." And often when we read this, we think, wow, that really paints a bleak picture of living the Christian life, if that's the way it's going to be. And I've often thought of that. And I really feel like the Lord showed me this. What Paul was saying here was absolutely the reverse of that sense of, whew, it's really tough. You need to think twice if you're going to live a Christian life and live with Christian values, because it is really hard. And so I want us to just look here at the first part of these four phrases of seeing half empty. And there are people, of course, around us who see things half empty always, their life, their situation, their glass, on and on. And so Paul says, we are hard pressed on every side. If we focus on being hard, that we are hard pressed on every side, and I'm sure some of us could probably give some hair-raising examples of what that looks like. What I think their way of living is becomes, and you can put this in brackets afterwards, their attitude is, woe is me. Do you ever meet someone and their whole basic attitude is, woe is me? I mean, you can never be with them more than 5 minutes and they start on their litany of everything that is wrong and how hard it is. And so, you know, it's easy enough to look at things from that half-empty position and it's bad and it's just going to get worse. And like the t-shirt, expect the worst. And so they're hard-pressed on every side. Paul says we're also perplexed. And someone who chooses to live in that perplexed state, always in confusion, their question is, what am I going to do? Have you ever been around people and that's all, you know, it's always that. What am I going to do? I don't know what to do now. And so we can live in that sense of life is awful and it's everyone's against me. And then Paul says, we're persecuted. And that person, I think, is the one that recites, nobody loves me, everybody hates me, and you know the rest. So it's easy enough to fall into that because life does throw some things at us that aren't necessarily of our choosing and not things that really make us too excited to think about keeping going with that sense of difficulty and persecution that's coming against us. And the fourth thing that Paul says, we are struck down. And I think the person that always lives in the reality of I'm being struck down, I am struck down, I have been, like all the conjugations, their motto is, it's not fair. And, you know, and children often come up with that. You know, they don't get to do what they want to do, or they've got to do what they don't want to do. And like weeding the garden or mowing the lawn or something like that. It's not fair. Nobody else has to do this. And so we can be in one of those or all of those. Woe is me. What am I going to do? Everybody hates me. It's not fair. And I think that's the glass half empty side, which Paul is saying, I have understood that my position now as an apprentice of Jesus is totally different from that. That's not what I'm emphasizing. He's being real in the sense that these are the things that are happening. Life hasn't always been easy. But Paul's attitude is in the second one. I think for all his style and personality and aggressiveness and maybe obnoxiousness, some people found him, I think he really was, as a believer in Jesus, I think he was the optimist, seeing half full. And so here are the other phrases in two. He said, but we are not crushed. And so I think Paul would say, even though the being hard-pressed on every side, he said, we are not crushed. And in there, I would think Paul's attitude is, we are brimming with confidence. It isn't easy, but our confidence stays true and firm. We are brimming with confidence. This is what Paul's whole message really is. Second, we're not in despair. So in spite of what's going against us, in spite of the fact that we're perplexed and scratching our head and like, what was that? His thing was, we are overflowing with hope. We have hope. It isn't easy, but it's not because it's not easy that we're going to giving up on our hope. And then he said, we're not abandoned. So I think Paul would say we are forever included, spoiled, even spoiled rotten, and we're in. God has made a place for us. He's accepted us. He's adopted us as his children. He considers us part of the beloved. The scripture uses that term, kind of an old-fashioned term now. But Paul says, in spite of being persecuted, we don't look at our persecution as evidence that God has abandoned us and left us alone and forgotten about us and walked away, or as, you know, some groups feel, you know, God is just a being out there somewhere. He has nothing to do with us and he's kind of forgotten somewhere out there, you know, that kind of thing. Paul doesn't look at it that way at all. I think he's very much saying, in the midst of all of this, we still feel like God has adopted us, he loves us, and he's taking care of us, and we are very much his. And then the fourth thing, we are not destroyed. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. You know, it's kind of like the, you know, it always reminds me of the whack-a-mole game, you know, with the multiple holes, and there's a little artificial mole that sticks up, and you take a big mallet, and you pop him down, and he pops up someplace else, and you hit that, and you pop him up someplace else. Well, I think that's how Paul sees his life. We're struck down. There are a lot of things against us. But in the brackets there, I think he would say we are intentional, we are committed, and we are focused. What we do as believers, what God has called us to do, isn't just, you know, this lovely highway where everything goes our way and it's smooth sailing and it's happiness along the way and we're all singing tra-la-la as we skip merrily along or whatever silly images you might have. The reality is we're hard-pressed on every side. We're perplexed, persecuted, and struck down. But the greater reality for Paul is we're not crushed, we're not in despair, we're not abandoned, we're not destroyed. And then just before this, in number three, the two verses that show us God's design for this life. Because we could easily say, wow, what was God thinking? Why doesn't he make it easy? Why isn't it simple? Why don't things just fall into our lap on a regular basis and we just go from one happy experience to another happy experience eating cake? And God has a design. So in chapter 4, just a couple of verses ahead, verses 6 and 7, here is how we see from God's standpoint. He says, God made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And then he says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay. What is the treasure Paul's referring to? The treasure is in verse 6. We've been given, God has given us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have it in jars of clay, Paul says, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. And then he goes into those verses we've looked at. So Paul sets up God's design, and he said, this is how God's designed it. He wants us to be jars of clay. He wants us to be those who look fragile, look like if you dropped us, we'd shatter. You know, common, ordinary jars of clay. But God did it on purpose in order that when people see us brimming with confidence and overflowing with hope, forever included, spoiled, rotten, in, intentional, committed, focused, they're like, wow, it is really evident that if God took the ordinary, not so cool looking, ugly maybe, vessels, and he's showing his glory through them, there must be something of his design going on here. Because not you. You know, some of you certainly could do a better job than I can. I have to wear flashy shirts, and even then it doesn't quite work. I didn't win by the contest, by the way. So, but God has shown Paul that and said, here's, your life is going to be all these things that you experience, but it's part of my plan in order that people will see you overcoming, see you continuing, see you prosper in spite of all the stuff that's going bad, and they will have to give glory to God because obviously these qualities are not characteristic of jars of clay. So we have this treasure in jars of clay so that the glory can be revealed. So often we are in situations where it is so easy to go to the half-empty side, to the dark side, and say, woe is me, what am I going to do? Everybody hates me, it's not fair. Or we can see from God's perspective and say, you know what, this is exactly what he's planned, and he's made provision for every negative thing. We've asked this question, and I won't ask you for specifics this morning, but have you ever noticed we learn most through the difficult stuff? When things really are hard-pressed and when it really gets ugly, that's when it gets our attention. And we're like, oh, you know, we mess up and, you know, we get ourselves in debt or, you know, we've made a wrong turn. I mean, we could blame it on the GPS. Not that I don't know anyone who would blame the GPS for getting lost. But, you know, if we ever got lost, we could blame it on the GPS. But really, the GPS is not holding the steering wheel. And so, you know, we do have to take some responsibility. But so God intends for us, and I think this is exactly what Paul says in this passage, and I've misinterpreted often reading through here that Paul was really feeling sorry for himself. And I'm like, you know what? That is not what Paul's doing at all. He is. And then he continues on through chapters 4 and 5, which we aren't going to read this morning. But he just keeps going on and on about how amazing this whole thing is. He finishes chapter 4 with this famous verse that we all know. So then, because of all these situations, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And so Paul's attitude here in living out this Christian life with all its difficulties, he's saying, the difficulties are here. This is what the difficulties do. But our provision is like this. And we don't have to back down. We don't have to give up. We can just keep brimming with confidence. We can keep overflowing with hope, knowing we are forever included. And we can just keep being intentional and committed and focused. And I think that's his call to us this morning. So let's pray together as we close up here this morning of these few verses out of Corinthians. And I'm coming back with lots of confidence that These situations are exactly what our French friends are going through as well. And they have a lot of historical stuff against them. They are very much aware of the historical difficulties that have been created, that they feel the weight of their history and the difficulties and the pain and all of the horrible things that have gone on in that country. And so they're trying to build back. And so they're pushing through and they're trying to get Paul's perspective. And it's so exciting to see them working with all the difficulties and really persevering. Brian? Yep. Please. And of course, we met the new Jenny. We never knew the old Jenny. So I have a hard time even picturing her being negative because she is definitely bubbly and an overcoming person. But that's great. So that's God's message, and I think that's what Jenny could teach us, what she is teaching us. So great. Thank you for sharing that. That's great. Let's pray together as we close up this morning. Father, we want to grab a hold of what Paul knew and what Jenny knows and see your word as provision, what you've accomplished for us, what you've given us, what you make available to us. It's so easy. It's so easy in our humanity to decide everything I get, I'm going to get for myself, and I'm going to make this work and to be self-sufficient in the sense that I'm the sum total of everything that I need, but you're showing us a totally different picture, that you make provision, and you turn us sometimes inside out or upside down, whatever is needed. And I believe that's what you did with Paul, and whatever he was like before his experience, his encounter with you, he certainly was revolutionized afterwards, and totally transformed in his way of seeing things. And so we understand that you make that available to us, and we can be those positive overcomers, the ones who acknowledge, we don't pretend that the other stuff is not there, but we don't allow that to totally define us either. So thank you for your spirit speaking to us this morning through these verses, for your design that you knew always from the get-go that these things were going to be true of us and what we would have to deal with. And so we thank you for the power of your word as it speaks to our situations today in November of 2014. Bless you for this morning and for this time that we've shared together here now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've begun praying for one another. So one of the things we want to do this morning, I think it would be really great if we just spent some time praying for us as a church for our next phase, and then maybe just even thanking the Lord for some of the progress that we're seeing in France, some of these people who have just gone through some amazing things. So if we could just spend a few minutes just praying for us and for our church, just as you feel led, and for our church, developing church in France with Didier and Isabel and Eduardo, who kind of takes the African side and leads that as well, the French-speaking African group. So can we just take a few minutes, let's pray for that, and then we'll pray for individual things as well. But let's begin for us and for the church in France.